Part A.
We're in a study in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, 10 through 17. We're in a series of studies on Sunday dealing with teleology, which is a theological term to mean the doctrines that are essential for spiritual growth, maturity, and the Christian way of life in the church age. Back in 1968, I went through a series through Baraka Church under the ministry of Theme, which he called the 68 Basics. It took me 3 years to go through it. I'm only doing 12 of those. But over the years, I kept up with the doctrines. When I went through that series, I kept up with the doctrines that I went through that impact my life in my spiritual growth momentum and were my stabilizing foundation for my life since 1968. And I got to thinking about it here a while ago, and I thought, I'm going to go ahead and teach those 12 doctrines that were my foundation to you, and hopefully they will be yours too. I would suggest you get a three-ring notebook and keep these in it, for you will find that these are the key doctrines of the Christian faith. You will find that other people need these doctrines. And you can go to our website and keep current in this course. It's the Sunday series of teleology. And I would suggest you do it. We're in the ninth of 12 doctrines, again, that were essential to me. And it's called the angelic conflict or the spiritual war. We are in our third study on that angelic conflict. In our first study, we gave you the origin because most people don't understand where it came from. In fact, most people, listen, most of Christianity don't believe in it. They don't agree with it to such a point that they've removed all of the soldiers' implicated songs out of the hymn books because they don't like the idea of warfare because they don't understand the spiritual realm. They think it's physical. And they compare those songs to Al-Qaeda, that we're no different singing those songs. Because they don't understand, they don't have a clue. And I'm talking about mainline denominations have thrown them out. Onward Christian Soldiers and things of that nature. We still have in our hymn book. We'll have it in those hymn books as long as I'm here. I'm going to get rid of them. It's very difficult to replace them with songs like that because they've taken them out. But we're talking about, so we talked about the origin of it. Now, last week we talked about the angelic conflict against the first, against mankind, the first angelic conflict against mankind. The reason that's important is because we see five bread and butter schemes the devil uses against man. That's why they're important. It's very important to go back and look how he attacked Adam and Eve because he used the same strategy against them that he used in eternity past when he got the angels to go with him against God. And he used that same idea, the same technique that worked there, he brought down to earth and used against Adam and Eve, and it worked. And that's his bread and butters. That's his bread and butter plays, as we would say, or his schemes of warfare. And last time we saw that you could narrow these five things down, and I brought them back to you after 2 hours of study. I brought it back so you could get an idea, and I wrote them on your papers from last week's study. The target in mankind is volition, because divine institution number one is freedom. And that's because man has volition, and man has volition because he was designed salim to muth, after the likeness according to the image of God, image and likeness of God. And so his target in the soul of man is, his target is to get volition to turn against God and to go for him. And he has to do it with disguise and deceit and lies. He couldn't come right out. He don't tell you the truth until he has you snared. Then he'll tell the truth, and it devastates you so bad that you choose to stay rather than go back. And so you have to come to your senses in the snare to get out of the snare. If you never come to your senses, you'll never get out of the snare. The prodigal son was an example of it. So he targets the soul of man, and the key is to go get volition to turn against God. And he used it with the angels, and he used it with Eve, and then Eve with Adam, and so that's a very big deal. The second thing is his strategy. He looks for kinks in the armor. Now you need to know what the armor is. There are six doctrines that he targets in the Christian life. And boy, if you spend any time out there talking with people, Christian and non-Christian, you'll see, especially Christians, you'll see how he attacks these six doctrines. And he looks for kinks in the armor. You recall last time, Eve, for example, one of the things is that she was disturbed about truth. And she was a person who read into the Bible and not out of it. An example of that, she said that, well, God said, don't touch it. Of course, we know that was her reading in, not reading out. The other aspect is he challenges beliefs. He challenges beliefs that are based on the Word of God. He challenges those beliefs of the Word of God by alternative to the will of God. An alternative. Okay, he says, I see that you believe that God said this. Let me give you an alternative to that. Let me give you an alternative to that. Maybe you haven't thought it through well enough. Maybe you're not quite as informed or enlightened as you should be on that subject. And so he challenges our belief by offering an alternative to the Word of God. He twists it. He attacks, listen, he attacks the directive will of God. When he gets to a place in your life, he will attack the directive will of God. The directive will of God is what God says, and you know for certain that's exactly what it is. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And that's what he's after. He is after to get you volitionally to go against the directive will of God. And listen, he is a master at it. Did he get Jonah to do it? Did he get Jonah? Did he get Peter to do it? Listen, has he gotten you every once in a while to do it? You know what the Word of God says about such and such, and yet he can twist it around. And I'll swan you if you won't go against the directive will of God in your life, that which you know to be absolutely true, you will still go ahead and do it. So, you know, it's a shame on you, Jonah, but look in the mirror. I mean, I speak for myself. He encourages walking by faith and not sight. He encourages walking by sight, not by faith. So that's his schemes. We saw it last week. Today we're going to study four aspects of the angelic conflict in the arena of the church age. Now he's going to use these same five bread and butter schemes against us. But we're going to learn how to fight successfully against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places in Ephesians 6 chapter. Look, you don't fight to win. You fight to be faithful. You don't fight to win. It's already been won. It's already been won. You don't fight to win. That's hard to get Americans to understand that. It's hard for we as Americans to understand success is just fighting faithfully. It's not about winning. The victory has already been won by Jesus Christ. It's about fighting faithfully against the devil. Just being faithful. Fight the good fight of faith, he says. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Well, we're going to look at that today after a word of prayer. Let us pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we are thankful for those in our church that have gone through difficulties and are still on their feet standing. and they're as important as the American flag flying in a nation. The fact that they are standing in the fight, still standing, haven't surrendered, is a tribute to the grace of God and the concept of faith. I pray today, Father, that we would understand these things. We pray for our children's church today. We pray for our camps and the leadership. We pray for our missionaries, the Sexton, Morgan, Archer. Pray for our military. Pray for Rick Broadhead overseas. We pray for our military personnel, both those in training and those on the front line. Pray for our nation. We pray for the people on the coast as they really battle. I pray as a nation, God, this would be a time for Christians to talk about what is going to become good from that. All things work together for good. And if they could see the good, they could find the solution. But if they keep seeing the bad, they'll never find a solution. To be able to figure out the things that God wants us to learn from it, the things that will benefit us, the things that are positive. The church is the one that should be leading that idea. What is the good in it? It's got to be a whole lot of good stuff there. The Christian church should be all about that. And I pray today, Father, that we as a nation would be able to see the good, to benefit from all that's occurring, to make us a stronger, more godly nation than we've been in the past. In Jesus' name, amen. Every church age believer is a soldier in the Lord's army. You're either on active or inactive duty in the angelic conflict. But you're always a soldier. You may not be on active duty in the angelic conflict. You may be an R&R. Embrace it. Embrace it. Because you're going to be called to active duty. And you're going to be called to serve in the capacity of your spiritual growth maturity. You're not going to get through this life without being called into active duty. You'll only be called to serve in the capacity you have to fight by faith. But you will. But you are a soldier. You are a soldier like you're a priest. You're a soldier like you're an ambassador. You are these three things all the time. And you serve whenever you're called to serve. You serve. You're always a priest, but may not be active. You're always an ambassador, but you may not be active. But you're always there ready to serve in the ambassadorship. You're always ready to serve in your priesthood. You're always ready to serve as a soldier in the army of the Lord. We are all soldiers in the Lord's army. There was a time in the church when everybody knew this. Today there are very few that know this. That's sad. We have really got our work cut out for us, church. We have, what a wonderful ministry we have before us, because the church of Jesus Christ is vastly ignorant of strong biblical basic truth. For example, that we are a priest, an ambassador, and a soldier. And we must always be ready for service in those three capacities. The strong church will be ready. The strong church will be ready. I am ready to serve in my priesthood, ready to serve as ambassador, ready to serve as a soldier in the angelic conflict. I know what that means, and I am ready to serve. When the commander-in-chief calls you into service, into active service in the angelic conflict, salute him and go, because you can fight the good fight of faith. We are going to prepare you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. This church has always stood for strong teaching of the Word of God. That's where our emphasis is. That's where our emphasis is. We emphasize three things in this church: priesthood, ambassadorship, and being a soldier in the angelic conflict. In 2 Timothy, 2 chapter 3 and 4 on your paper, he says, suffer hardship with me. That is a soldier in active duty. That is a soldier who is engaged in warfare. There is suffering in warfare. There is hard suffering in warfare. And you should know that. War is not peace, is it? You got to have the peace within you, not the peace without you. He tells you, suffering hardship with me, and he puts in an aorist active imperative. That's a command in the Greek language. Then he uses hos as a comparative participle. A particle, he says, as or like as or compared to a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And he uses of Jesus Christ. The soldier of Jesus Christ is what we call a possessive genitive of relationship. Those who have a relationship with Christ through salvation, that Jesus died for your sins, was buried and raised from the dead. That person that has that relationship of redemption is a soldier. You need to get prepared for active duty. No soldier in active duty, Paul says, one who's called up to warfare. No soldier in active service entangles himself with the affairs of everyday life. And he's talking about the normal things that are good in our life. You have to leave to go to war. You leave your wife sometimes, you leave your family, you leave your church, sometimes you leave this. You leave the normal, healthy affairs of life because of warfare. He says, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. These are not bad things, these are good things. You would like to be home with your family, but you're in Afghanistan. You would like to be in your home church. You would like to be in your home own bed. You would like to be able to put your children to bed tonight and tell them the things that God has put in your heart to them, but you're in Iraq. No soldier called into active duty entangles himself with the good things of life. What he calls in the affairs of everyday life. And he uses the word bios. Here's the purpose, that there are times when you're called to active service in the angelic convoy, it is so tough and it is so alone, that you have to leave the normal affairs of life to engage yourself in that warfare. And the purpose, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier, the commander-in-chief, Lord Jesus Christ. We do that to please the commander-in-chief who has called us into active service. You study the Bible, you'll see him call men like that. He'll call Moses. He'll call Elijah, Isaiah. He'll call Jonah. He'll call Peter. He'll call Paul. He'll call you. Are you a soldier? You are if you believe that Jesus died for your sins, was buried and raised from the dead the third day. You are a soldier of Jesus Christ because you have a redemptive relationship with him, just like you're a priest. Salvation has brought priesthood, it has brought ambassadorship, and it has brought soldier in the army of the Lord. Now, whether or not you're going to be active in any of those depends on your volition and spiritual growth and how well you can fight the angelic conflict. Because let me tell you, he's after all three of those things. He's going to try to shut all three of those babies down. Ambassadorship that goes out and preaches the gospel to the world. The priesthood that keeps the church solid and grounded in the Word of God and love. And a soldier who's willing to fight the angelic conflict for spiritual reasons. Fighting in an invisible war as invisible heroes. So that the soldier called to active duty may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. A church-age believer who is activated to duty as a soldier of the Lord is commanded to focus on the warfare of the angelic conflict when he says no soldier in active service entangles himself in civilian life. And he tells you why. He says the church age believer engaged in the angelic conflict at that moment in his life is to please the commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. You shouldn't sit around and suck your thumb and cry. You're at war. Put your armor on, stand firm, and fight the good fight of faith. We have lost in the church these great hymns. I wrote some down that I love. A mighty fortress. Am I a soldier of the cross? Faith is the victory. Fight the good fight. Onward, Christian soldiers. Soldiers of Christ, arise. Who is on the Lord's side? All great hymns that reminded us that we, the church, is engaged in the angelic conflict and that we already have the victory. It is the fight that is ours. Fight the good fight of faith.
This concludes part A. Please select part B to continue.